May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 807. 807. My brethren, why these anxious fears, these warm pursuits and eager cares for earth and all its gilded toys? If the whole world you could possess, it might enchant, it could not bless. False hopes, vain pleasures, and light joys. Hymn 807.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, friends, I should have said at the commencement of the service that Mr. Wheatley is quite ill with a chest infection, so he could not come this evening, and Mr. Pickett has kindly agreed to come at short notice. May we be able to pray for Mr. Wheatley, for the Lord's restoring hand upon him, and for his dear servant with us as he preaches to us.
Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the word of God, reading from the first book of Chronicles, chapter 22. The first book of Chronicles, chapter 22. One Chronicles, chapter 22. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance, for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre, brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel for ever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfil the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and the holy vessels of God, into the house that is to be built, to the name of the Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. O Lord God, Almighty, thou great and eternal God, yet merciful, gracious, good, kind, and faithful, there is none like unto thee. And Lord, we come before thee now, as we gather together here in thy name, to worship thee. And may we know what true worship is. O Lord, do draw us unto thyself. We turn in from the busy scenes of life, and all the things we have been attending to this day, those matters of duty, responsibility, importance in the home, in the workplace, in education, whether near or far. But now, we have been blessed with that measure of health and strength, and brought safely here. Another opportunity has been granted to us to meet together in thy name. Oh, do come according to thy word and make one in the midst. May thy presence be known and felt. And may there be that purpose in our gathering here tonight. That purpose according to thy grace, of thy love, of thy goodness. Lord, do come and prepare our hearts, even to receive thy word. We meet around thy word. We thank thee for thy word, but cause thy word to enter in and to abide, and to bring forth fruit in due season to thy honour and to thy glory. Oh, do make it that living word unto our never-dying souls. As Jesus once said, the words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And may thy spirit take of thine and show it unto us, the spirit's application of the word of God. And O Lord, thou knowest how we have come, and those who have come in need, those who have come in no need, those who have come burdened, those who have come not burdened. those who have come seeking Jesus, and those who have not come seeking Jesus. O Lord, those who have come with their cries, their pleas, their petitions, and those who have come silent. O Lord, then, remember any, ye unconcerned, indifferent, and be pleased to touch their hearts. O call them by thy grace, pluck them as branch from a burning, make them willing in the day of thy power, and bring them into want, into that great concern over their never dying souls and a never ending eternity. And any who may be satisfied with a lamp of profession, a name to live, an outward show, O Lord, show them the hollowness of these things, the vanity of these things, that being without God, they are without hope. O Lord, do show them their great need of thy saving grace. O show them their great need of the merciful Saviour, even Jesus. Remember such who had been brought into that need. And it may be tonight, like the prodigal, and he began to be in want. There was that change. There was that felt need. There was that turning, that humbling, that emptying. O Lord, may it be so with some here tonight. And he began to be in want. O the beginnings, Lord, that beginning of a work of grace. O might there be one of whom it can be testified in heaven that behold, he prayeth. One called out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. One turning from the ways of sin and turning to the ways of God. One who shall leave this world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. O Lord, one beginning to understand their need of the word of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the Christ of God. O those who must flee from the wrath to come, and flee to that city of refuge in Jesus alone. Lord, who remember burdened souls, troubled souls, seeking souls, longing souls, those knocking upon the door of thy mercy, those asking for pardon, forgiveness, those who would seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Remember souls blessed with that good hope through grace, which hope we have as an anchor of a soul. Those, Lord, who in the pilgrim's way, strangers and pilgrims here upon this earth, and yet pressing on, continuing in the faith, labouring to enter into that rest. O Lord, who helps us. Remember those in providential need, any who may be struggling with situations, circumstances, troubles, difficulties and problems. O Lord, be pleased to help them and help them to look to thee and to cry unto thee. Those who have matters before them and all these things are too hard, too many, too great. Again, may they be helped to look to thee and commit all unto thee. And those who have those pressing cares and concerns, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We would remember each one gathered here from the youngest to the eldest. And we would pray for those who listen in from their homes. Think of those who would be here if they could, those at homes with little ones, those lay it aside in affliction, sickness, infirmity, in old age, any away at this time, any unable to come for other reasons, any in employment, Lord, remember such. And we would especially pray for thy servant who had engaged to be here tonight and would have come but has been laid aside. Lord, remember him at this time and draw near to him and sanctify this affliction for his spiritual good. And O, be pleased to lay thy healing hand upon him and raise him up again. O, raise him up to stand upon the walls of Zion, to blow the gospel trumpet with no uncertain sound. Lord, we commit and commend him unto thee and to the word of thy grace. But O, Lord, these events come into our lives unexpected. These things which may suddenly come upon us and we wonder why. But oh, we pray for that grace to bow to thy will. And that grace of submission and resignation, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Remember this cause of truth and maintain them as a cause of truth. And, O Lord, do work mightily in the midst yet. We would be thankful for what thou hast done. But may there yet be others. Others who shall say, come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. And may there yet be other sheep. O Lord, other sheep also I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one shepherd and one fold. O, be pleased to bring in other sheep. Lord, Zion is ministered and brought very low, and such a withholding of the power of thy Holy Ghost. Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. O Lord, we do fear that thou dost have a contention with thy people. Lord, have we become too worldly? O Lord, in our opening hymn, are we guilty? Have we wandered? Have we backslidden? Have we hardened our hearts? Have we turned aside? Are we trying to worship God and mammon? Lord, forgive us. O, grant us grace to return to thee and prove that wonderful promise, return unto me and I will return unto you. But O, Lord, may there yet be an ingathering. O Lord, we think of our nation and the state of our nation and the ignorance of the true God, the ignorance of the Word of God, the ignorance of the commandments of God, the ignorance of the ways of God. O, man's ignorance of himself and his never-dying soul. O Lord, who have mercy. And be pleased yet to call sinners by thy grace, such who shall be taught of God and taught the truth, taught the plague of their own hearts, taught their need of their soul's salvation, taught that one thing is needful, that Jesus is the one thing needful. Remember thy people worldwide in all of their various needs, and those who suffer much, Lord, undertake for them. And how thankful we should be, Lord, for so many blessings and privileges and comforts yet bestowed upon us, that we might gather together around thy word, that we have food and raiment and so much more. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for, and just too much we take for granted. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us our sins of commission. And forgive us our sins of omission. O Lord, who hear then our poor prayer, and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, and do grant now thy gracious help, and may it be noised abroad tonight that Jesus is in the house. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 283. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Hymn 283.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together, the first book of Chronicles, chapter 22, and the former part of verse 12. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and the former part of verse 12. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. We might generalize the first four kings of Israel in this way. The first, King Saul, known for his disobedience and his jealousy. The second, King David, known for his courage and his faith. The third, King Solomon, known for his wisdom and understanding. And the fourth, King Rehoboam, known for his foolishness and stupidity. So really it was King David and King Solomon who were given grace to serve the Lord in their day and their generation. The Lord used King David to establish the nation of Israel. By the time of the end of his reign, Israel was a great nation. Jerusalem, the capital city, was a great city. And the people, generally speaking, were one. And then with King Solomon, oh, how the Lord prospered him and also prospered Israel. It became the greatest nation in the earth at that time. The envy of the whole world, kings and queens from all around came to see not just the greatness of Solomon, but Jerusalem also, where gold and silver was thought nothing of. The Lord being very favourable in an outward sense unto King Solomon and the children of Israel at that time. Now the words of our text is the desire and surely the prayer of King David for his son Solomon, ere David was to go the way of all flesh, knowing that Solomon, his son, would take over as king. And he had this desire for his son, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. This doesn't just concern the building of the temple, the house of the Lord, which David was not permitted to build. It would fall to Solomon to build that house. And in this, Solomon needed wisdom and understanding, but also in the government of the whole nation. And it was a prayer that the Lord answered. And it may encourage us. There are those of our loved ones who have passed away, and many were their prayers for their loved ones, their children, their grandchildren, and so on. And they passed away, and there didn't appear to be any answer to their prayers. It may be afterward, as it was here, that the Lord did give unto Solomon such wisdom and understanding. But then Solomon himself, we know that the Lord loved Solomon. And the Lord taught Solomon to pray. And in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 1, we have his prayer of King Solomon unto God. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, and honour, I can't but help think of our opening hymn, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honour, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. The Lord gave unto Solomon wisdom and understanding. Not only the prayer of his father, but the prayer of himself also, and I'm sure the prayer of many godly souls all around. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. And perhaps tonight in coming to the house of God, we've come with a burden, a care, a desire, a longing, a need, or we've come with a difficulty, a trouble, a problem. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. I do believe that the way the Lord will teach, instruct, and deal with his people is to bring them into certain situations, troubles, and trials where only the Lord can help, where only the Lord can deliver, where only the Lord can undertake, where only the Lord can strengthen. If you will, only the Lord can give wisdom and understanding. You think of Jehoshaphat, and neither know we what to do. He come to the end of his wisdom, the end of his understanding. Neither know we what to do. A place I believe the Lord will oft bring his people, not a comfortable place to come to, but a necessary place to come to. Neither know we what to do. I fear in these days in which we live, perhaps it pervades in education, that man must know what to do. He must find a way through. He must find a way round. He will not be beaten by this task. He will not be humbled under it. He will be determined, he will be strong, he will be clever, he will be wise in his own wisdom. Determined not to be beaten, but to overcome this matter. Ah, that may be the way of the world. They may carry on that way, prayerless and indifferent to God. But the Lord, in his teaching to his people, must bring them unto himself. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Or that eye of faith, looking to the Lord to give wisdom and understanding. We have it again in Psalm 107. For he commandeth, and they rise up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. I think in the margin it says, all their wisdom is swallowed up. As we sometimes term it, wit's end corner. Like Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do. At their wit's end. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord delivered them out of all their distresses. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Just notice his first word. Only. Only. Thinking again of Psalm 107. And this is at a time when the people contemned the counsel of the Most High, rebelled against the words of God, and he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. I draw a bow to venture. Is there one here tonight? You've fallen down, and there's none to help. You're in this painful place, this distressing place. You've fallen down. You've been brought down. Your wisdom, your strength, your understanding has been brought down. You didn't want to be brought down. You wanted to stand high and strong. But this thing is too great. And you've been brought down. And it's a lonely place. There's none to help. None to help. Sometimes I think of that little clause, just one word, and you take away one letter from one word, and it completely changes. Not none to help. You take away the N and you get one to help. One to help. One who is able to help. One who is able to deliver. One who is able to give wisdom and understanding. Ah, they fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them. Oh, he is the one to help. Only. Only the Lord. Not man. Not self. Oh, how often we look to self, perhaps for wisdom and understanding. And if self fails, we look to an arm of flesh. We look to man. And they fail also. And we come to that place where there is none to help. And the Lord says, look unto me. Look unto me. I think of that time the disciples were on that ship with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus asleep. And that storm of wind came up. And really the disciples, even the fishermen, were out of control. They couldn't control that ship. They couldn't bring it safely to land. The waves of water was now coming into the ship. They felt to be in jeopardy. They knew not what to do until at last they cried to the Lord Jesus. It was a poor prayer. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Accusing the Lord Jesus of not caring about their jeopardy. The Lord cared very much indeed. In one sense, he cared more than that they cared. Oh, his care was that they might come to him and look to him and cry to him and see what the Lord does. And the Lord arose and rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. And then rebuked his own disciples. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Now, first of all, I desire to speak of the giver, the one who is able to give thee wisdom and understanding, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, with whom nothing shall be called impossible. The Lord who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Lord of infinite wisdom. The Lord who always knows what to do, and not only what to do, but the right thing to do. Oh, the Lord who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind. And what do we read concerning the Lord? I have wisdom. I am understanding. Yes, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. All the wisdom of God. The understanding of God. perfect in wisdom. Or that wisdom which is from on high. That wisdom, if Solomon was given such wisdom that people looked on and wondered, it was God who gave him that wisdom. Or it was the Lord who gave him that wisdom. And in a sense, it was nothing to the Lord to give Solomon that wisdom. Oh, when we think of God being so great, so high, so mighty, so able, and you think of the wisdom and understanding of God. As we prove in our lives, at times we just lack that wisdom. We do not know what to do. Never can that be said of God. The Lord never lacks wisdom. With the feeding of the 5,000, he himself knew what he would do. The Lord has wisdom and wisdom to give. And understanding. The Lord understands everything. Whatever the problem, whatever the matter, the Lord understands. If you will, the Lord has the solution. The Lord has the way. The Lord has the answer. The Lord is able. It was one of the great sins of the children of Israel that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Dear friend, how often do you and I also limit the Holy One of Israel? Because we lack wisdom and understanding, it's almost as if we think the Lord also lacks wisdom and understanding. Ah, but there's no lack with the Lord. No lack of wisdom, no lack of understanding. Only the Lord. Only, it just seems to stand out rather, only the Lord. Ah, that's where we have to go. That's where we have to look. That's where we have to seek this wisdom and understanding that we need. Only the Lord. Only the Lord. I believe there's a similar word spoken by Moses to Joshua, his successor. And Moses, knowing that he must soon die, that Joshua, he must succeed in the leadership of the children of Israel. And so again, Moses prays for Joshua. And Moses gives to Joshua counsel concerning that great matter that was before him. And he speaks thus, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with his people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Only the Lord be with thee." Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Oh, remember that tonight. Only the Lord. Give. Give. That the Lord is able to give. And as I mentioned concerning Solomon, it was his prayer, his felt need, that the Lord would give to him. So Solomon made it a matter of prayer. He came before the Lord in his simplicity. He came before the Lord as a little child. Oh, he came poor as he felt himself to be, lacking as he felt himself to be, knowing that the Lord could give him all needed wisdom and understanding. It's a word we have in James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. To whom does the Lord give wisdom and understanding? Well, to those who ask him. That promise the Lord Jesus promised, ask and it shall be given thee. But ask in faith, believing that God is able to give thee wisdom and understanding. And yet furthermore, it is to those whom the Lord has already taught, already instructed, already proved. It is those the Lord is having dealings with, such souls who are brought to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And two things stand out here in connection with our text. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Oh, how often we can look at a situation, we can summarise a situation, and we think we know what to do. You see, Joshua once was wise in his own eyes. And as Gibeonites came, making out they come from a far off country, were lying, they were deceiving, and yet it all looks so true. They took of their victuals, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They were wise in their own eyes, they thought they knew, but they didn't know the truth. They were being deceived. And you think that we have hearts deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked, and we can deceive ourselves. Oh, how easily we can be deceived. So be not wise in thine own eyes. And again, lean not unto thine own understanding. But how often we do lean to our own understanding. We think we have so many thoughts. Well, I thought this would happen. I thought this would come to pass. We assume as well as presume by our own understanding. But the Lord says here, lean not unto thine own understanding. So we come to those times of trial, those times to be proved, those times to be tested. And how often initially we lean upon our own understanding and are wise in our own eyes, and perhaps things seem to go wrong. Things didn't fall out as we had anticipated, expected, or even hoped. And perhaps also we had not asked counsel of the Lord. We'd try going before the Lord. We'd lent to our own understanding. We were wise in our own eyes. I'll just quote these verses again. There's so much instruction here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. So we need our own wisdom and understanding to be taken away. Even by going to man, going to an arm of flesh. Oh, how man at times thinks he gives good advice, but it's not the counsel of the Lord. It's not that right advice. Man has knowledge, but it's limited. It's limited by his own understanding and wisdom, but there are no limits with God. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. So we come back to, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. And yet we're full of doubts and fears. Or at times we're full of diffidence. Or at times we're full of unbelief. And we don't make it a matter of prayer. We don't come to the Lord asking for wisdom and understanding. And we need the Lord to teach us, to instruct us of our own lack, our own need, our own deficiency, our own poverty, our own emptiness, or to ever come to him. It speaks of dependence. The Lord will have his people dependent upon him, not independent of him. I feel that is so clearly set forth with the children of Israel in their wilderness journeys. You see, they were to trust in the Lord with all their heart and not lean to their own understanding. Straight away at the Red Sea, by leaning to their own understanding, there seemed to be no way. They seemed to be trapped. And now the Egyptians coming, and Pharaoh and the chariots. Oh, how they cried out in fear, in panic. But you see, the Lord knew what he would do. In a sense, he brought them to that test, and they failed. They miserably failed. They were to cry to the Lord, to depend upon him. And you see, the Lord made a way. He himself knew what he would do. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Our own understanding can be rational. I mean, reason and sense. Our own understanding can look at the situation, look at the problem. And there seems to be no solution. There seems to be no way. And we do not make it a matter of prayer, and thus we limit the Holy One of Israel. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding to cry to him in every time of need, or in every trouble, in every trial, and to depend upon him. And it was all the way, wasn't it? They were so dependent upon the Lord their God to lead them forth by the right way, to supply their every need, to protect them and defend them, to provide for them. Theirs was to trust in him and not to lean to their own understanding. To prove, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Now, there is that wisdom from on high. That wisdom the Lord gives to all his people, and it's vital, it's imperative, wherein they are made wise unto salvation. Oh, there's no comparison to this wisdom, whereby one is made wise unto salvation. One may be very naturally gifted with that natural wisdom and understanding in certain fields of science, in certain practical ways or academic ways, maybe exceedingly wise and clever and able and gifted, and yet be left to perish in their sins. What a fall. Oh, what an utter fall. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But all to the child of God, whether blessed with natural wisdom or not, but to be made wise unto salvation. It rather struck me, something we read concerning David in verse 5 at the end. So David prepared abundantly before his death. I know this is in the context of the provisions for the building of the house of the Lord, but his soul, his never-dying soul, a never-ending eternity. Oh, may the Lord grant us that wisdom, so we also prepare abundantly before our death. If you will, the wise virgins prepared abundantly before their death. They took oil in their vessels. They were found with grace in their hearts. By grace ye are saved through faith. The foolish made no preparation at all. They leant upon their own understanding. They assumed all would be well. They were wise in their own eyes, but not in the eyes of God. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Oh, may that hymn, the verse of a hymn, be our prayer. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Oh, to be prepared to die. Oh, to be prepared to meet our Maker. Oh, to be prepared for that great judgment day. Oh, to be prepared for eternity. Oh, may not one here be not prepared. Oh, but may each one be prepared by the Holy Spirit, brought into concern over our never-dying souls. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Now, to be made wise unto salvation, we need to be given that wisdom and understanding first of ourselves, that we are sinners. The word of God is abundantly clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And as a hymn might append, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. Oh, may the Lord give us wisdom and understanding to know that we are sinners. Anyone can say that they're a sinner. Anyone can repeat the words. Anyone can make a confession of sin from the lips. But as Joseph Hart penned, oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression, to know something of the plague of our own hearts, to know that we have sinned against God. David knew himself as a great sinner. Even Solomon, left to himself when he fell, knew himself as a great sinner. They would be brought to confess their sins unto God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we know what true confession of sin is? From a broken heart, a contrite spirit. May we know that true confession, that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. May we know that true confession unto God. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding to confess thy sins unto him. Or that true, honest, sincere confession of sin. And are not to leave, as it were, one stone unturned. But, oh, from the depths of our hearts, to truly confess unto God, to acknowledge our iniquities. I have sinned. I have done evil. I am a sinner. I just think of that woman who came into Simon the Pharisee's house where Jesus was, and there at the feet of Jesus, weeping. She knew herself to be a sinner. Indeed, it was Simon the Pharisee who thought in his mind, if this man, that was Jesus, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman she is, for she is a sinner. Simon judged her as a sinner, and he judged right. But the Lord Jesus knew that she was a sinner. The woman herself knew that she was a sinner. But then Jesus knew that Simon the Pharisee also was a sinner. But he didn't know that he was a sinner. All the difference. There was that woman, broken, contrite, confessing, pleading for mercy, seeking salvation by grace, looking alone to Jesus. And Simon the Pharisee having no interest, no concern in such things. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding as a sinner, a guilty sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, to flee to the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus. None other name given us under heaven whereby we must be saved but that of Jesus. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding to flee from the wrath to come and to flee to him, the friend of publicans and sinners. All that wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of him, to know my Jesus crucified, to know him as my Lord and my Saviour, my Redeemer, oh, to know him as my friend, my shepherd, my counsellor, my all in all. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. Now, is it your prayer? Is it my prayer? That I may know him. Not just know about him, not just to know of him, but to know him personally, savingly. Oh, to know him, my Saviour, my Lord, my God. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Ruth, the Moabitess, was given wisdom and understanding. I'm sure there was that instruction from Naomi in the land of Moab concerning the Lord God of Israel. And Ruth was drawn, not just to Naomi, but to Naomi's God, the Lord God of Israel. And though Orpah would come thus far, when it came to the test, Orpah turned back to her gods. But dear Ruth, oh, not just cleaving to Naomi, but cleaving to the Lord God of Israel. And it's so beautifully expressed by Boaz concerning Ruth, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The Lord reward thy faith. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding to trust in the Lord God of Israel. Oh, to trust in a merciful and gracious God, to put our whole trust and dependence upon him, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I rest my whole eternity, Jesus only. If ever my poor soul be saved, his Christ must be the way. This is a language of one who has been given wisdom and understanding to flee to him, to believe in him, to look to him, to hope in him. That wisdom and understanding of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work, his precious sin-atoning blood which cleanseth from all sin, his spotless robe of righteousness, whereby the sinner is acceptable unto God. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding that we cannot save ourselves. All that no arm of flesh can save, but thou must save, and thou alone, none but Jesus. Only the Lord. Only the Lord. The Lord who is merciful. The Lord who is gracious. The Lord who is good. The Lord who is kind. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding of his precious word and those exceeding great and precious promises. I think it's about 4 or 5 times in Psalm 119 that we have a psalmist praying, give me understanding. And usually there in the context of the word of God, give me understanding of the word of God, the written word of God, and the incarnate word of God, the Lord Jesus. And on that resurrection day at even, as Jesus made himself known unto his disciples, then opened he the eyes of their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, not in the mere letter of it, not in the mere doctrines of it, but that right understanding of the Lord Jesus in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, able to make us wise unto salvation. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Oh, to be made wise unto salvation with that knowledge of He who is the sinner's only hope of salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of His word. Oh, may the Lord so instruct us in His word. May His word be our guide, be our counsel. Oh, may the Lord thus teach us by His Holy Spirit. May the Lord grant us that right wisdom and understanding of His word. Do not interpretations belong unto God? For there is no scripture of any private interpretation, but only interpreted by the Holy Spirit. As the Lord is pleased to take of the things of Jesus and show them unto us, to grant us that wisdom and understanding. I want to come back to the pathway, the Lord's dealings. The way of the Lord is that right way. It's to be walked by faith, not by sight, to trust in Him at all times. And the Lord trieth the righteous. And there are those matters in our lives. There are those things which may be before us. And we feel that lack of wisdom and understanding. And I don't know, just seem to sense there may be one or another here tonight in such a place. And there is this thing before you. Perhaps a decision to be made, perhaps an important decision, perhaps much rests upon it and the outcome of it. And there is natural wisdom, there is natural inclination, there are natural desires, there are natural thoughts, and there are suggestions, and there are things swaying. But this word, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. The apostle writing to Timothy gives various advice, and then he writes, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Well, it must be His will, the will of God. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that must be foremost, to know and do the will of God. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep His statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do His will. His will. And we will find that the will of the Lord is so different to our will. We have in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55, the words of the Lord, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The ways of the Lord. Past finding out, how then can a man understand his own way but by faith and looking unto Jesus, committing all unto Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, for ye have need of patience in waiting for the Lord to give thee wisdom and understanding. Again in Isaiah we have that word, their strength is to stand still. That word to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. And the children of Israel at the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now we need that grace at times to be still and know that I am God. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. For only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Then shalt thou prosper. If thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of a good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening. Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach for us on Good Friday morning. Our closing hymn is number 1075. 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.